You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, good evening to you once again, and welcome to the second and final hour of the show. It is Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It is the 28th of January, so I think I can still say, without feeling any guilt, that Happy New Year to you, and thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you. It is, like I said, the 28th of January, 2025. It is a Tuesday, so that means that we talk everything technology and innovations. It is our contribution as a show with our guests, right, into understanding some of the trends and the things that are taking place in the technological space, so that you and I, more importantly, as Christians, because we often think that we live alone in a vacuum somewhere, but as Christians, so that we understand what's happening in the world. Today, we're talking about cybersecurity trends that you can look forward to in the year 2025. And I think that's a beautiful topic, because cybersecurity seems to be taking quite a bit of technological conversations, at least from what I've seen and what I've been exposed to there. The future of cyber security remains a constant concern for security professionals and organizational leaders as well, even if the organization is protected now. I think we get a lot of, let me use the word comfort for that, right? What new threats and events could derail the organization in a few days, a few months, a few years are things that we should be asking. After all, the rapid advancement of technology also means a rapid advancement of vulnerabilities. Underline that one. Now, while there is no crystal ball to forecast the future, organizations can still make informed predictions about cybersecurity in the coming year. So this evening, we look at the several trends that one can look forward to, which will likely shape the cyber landscape in 2025. And we are joined by Muyowa Mutemwa joining us this evening. Sir, once again, good evening and welcome to the show.
Evening and evening to your listeners. Always happy to join the show.
Ah, fantastic. We really appreciate it.
And compliments to the new year to the listeners as well.
Compliments to the new year as well. I was actually listening, now that you say that, I was actually having a conversation with someone, and they put it very nicely, and they said, complications for the year 2025. I thought, no, man, it's compliments, not complications.
Yeah, 100%. It should be compliments.
It should be compliments, right? So, yeah, thank you so much, and compliments to you too as well. We wish you nothing but the best for the year 2025 there. Before we even get into this little bit about cybersecurity trends this year, I wanted to ask you just around, how would you sum up the year 2024, particularly from a cybersecurity point of view?
Look, I think it's a year where we started having conversation on a broader scale.
Yeah.
At a national level, even at individual radios, people started having more conversations around cybersecurity.
Yeah.
Because we saw a lot of things in the news, whether it was government-based, personnel-based, that had issues related to cybersecurity that were important for us. And I think 2024, I would say for most listeners, it was an introductory year to cybersecurity.
Yeah,
but those definitely. Who missed it, well, we can start again from 2025.
That's really interesting. So do you think that you mentioned something there, that the government, the world, the broader society started getting, I suppose, awakened to the issue of cybersecurity. Did we have an epiphany, or were there maybe events that highlighted that this is something we need to take very seriously?
Look, I think it was more on a South African level. And the world is always a little bit step
advanced,
ahead when it comes to most technological things
in
South Africa. We're just a step behind. We're not far behind.
Mm.
And I think maybe the main thing that made us realize that was the National Health Laboratory Services being compromised. And that touches the lives of every South African within our country.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those are where our test results are sent for analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that got a lot more coverage in terms of just some cybersecurity awareness. The other thing also, I think, that was discussed maybe just briefly by the Minister of Home Affairs was just some small issues with the department and some of the things that they were hoping to implement.
Mm.
And these things were discussed in 2025. So I'm talking about two things for me.
Yeah.
That indirectly or directly touches the lives of everyone in our country.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting then. And I always hear people saying that we are just a step behind the rest of the world, China and you know, so-called world-class or first-world countries seem to be ahead of us. I know this might sound like a political question, but I believe, for one, that we perhaps do have what it takes to be toe-to-toe with the rest of the world. Perhaps it's a leadership thing?
Look, I fully agree with you. We do have the skill set. Mm. If you look at the so-called advanced countries, you'll find that there's quite a lot of Africans that make it into those spaces and champion great developments.
Yeah.
And I think for us, it's more of... I wouldn't say our leaders are lacking in a way.
Okay.
But I think it's also, let's take the advantage of our people leading at a global scale, because people will always remember home, and when they come back, they come back with a vast knowledge and experience.
Yeah.
And they can implement things here.
Yeah.
And that will allow us to be able to catch up. So I think for me, when we look at, especially, it's called a brain dump.
Yeah.
Where the smart people leave South Africa.
Yeah.
Please don't put me on that scale. I don't know where I fit in.
Yeah.
Because if I was super smart, I would have left the continent too. But
it's probably just a matter of time before you leave the continent.
Who knows? but the super smart in terms of information technology in our country, whether it's at an IT level or operational technology level, they tend to find themselves migrating abroad and then come back as executives, seniors, people who want to start their own businesses and innovations.
Mm.
So for me, I see it as a way for them to go and gain the experience and then come help us develop things a little bit better here.
No, that's true. I think we've exported quite a lot of talent to the rest of the world as the African continent. And I know that African countries as well are seemingly finding their foot with technological advances and coming up with very innovative and creative ideas. I mean, I was looking at Disrupt Africa's report, for example. Africa seems to be, especially African tech startups, seems to have gotten quite a lot of money last year. And the year before that, from a technology and innovations point of view. So we've got a lot to contribute to the world. We shouldn't look at ourselves as unable to do that, because I believe we have the skill set, like you're saying there, so which is quite true. Now, here's my first question then, in terms of then the advancement of technology, especially on a cybersecurity point of view, right? I want us, one, to please define cybersecurity. And I know a lot of our listeners can go back to our podcast if they really want to understand the meaning of cybersecurity. But as a way to just introduce them, what is cybersecurity? But also the advancement then of technology doesn't seem to be slowing down anytime soon. Is there enough that we are going to, I suppose, get to a point where enough is enough when it comes to technology and cybersecurity?
All right, so two very difficult questions. I like them. So if I was to define cybersecurity, there is a space where we tend to do things electronically and online. And that's the key part, electronically.
Mm.
And then the other one is that interconnectivity between computer systems, between cell phones, between cars.
Yeah.
And when we say cybersecurity, we are just saying that space, that electronic space.
Yeah.
And that space where things are interconnected, whether it's directly over Bluetooth or on the internet, we need to secure that.
Yes.
we need to find mechanisms so that when I speak to you as Thapelo, no one else eavesdrops on the conversation and changes the words. We also need to secure simple things for listeners if they want to understand this concept even better. When we log into our banks, you know, and we start doing online banking on our phones, you know, you've got these mobile apps.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want someone to change the zeros, remove a zero.
Yes.
We would love someone to add a zero, but imagine if someone removes
a couple of zeros, please. Yeah,
that puts us at an inconvenience, and that's where we're saying when we do these electronic communications, we want that space to be secure. And this can then broaden itself into aspects of social communication, aspects of financial communication, even the military as well. We've got military operations that are done in the cybersecurity space. So there's quite a lot of things we talked about. I think we started the show with health. We spoke about the Department of Home Affairs as well. So there's quite a lot of things that cybersecurity touches all aspects of our lives.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important that we at least understand the basic concept and what it means for us.
Definitely.
And then you ask the very important question, you say, are we ever going to reach a stage where we say enough is enough?
Yeah.
And for me, I'll put it this way. There's a quotation from one of my favorite authors, and she writes, she says, throughout eternity, we will continue to learn about this person called God.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
Now, God made us in his image, meaning human beings are capable. My father always says he made us with the ability to partake of divine nature. That's why he himself found it easy to become a human being. Because a human being, what he can develop because he was made in the image of God, I think that's limitless. So we would never reach a stage where we say, human beings have reached the ceiling in terms of innovation in this space.
Yeah.
As long as we have this image of God.
And I'm thinking about it, and you actually raised a different point to it, because as I was thinking about it, I was in my mind picturing the fact that there'll always be threats, I suppose. There's always someone who's trying to tinker and, you know, disturb certain things. We come up with these new apps, you know, communication apps, WhatsApp. I know it's been around for quite some time, but there's that encryption that is required in there to secure the conversations and make sure that no one can get in between the conversation, because it would be so weird talking to you over WhatsApp, for example, and then someone enters that particular conversation and derails us or whatever. But it would seem to me that there will always be someone trying to tinker with some information of ours, particularly financial information, for their gain.
100%. So I think we now have the same scenario. We apply the same line to say that human beings have the capability to produce wonderful things. At the same time, human beings have the same capability to destroy. So when we talk about cybersecurity and the destruction, there are those who have realized this is an easy crime for them, because they can do this from behind a so-called mirror that someone doesn't know who they are. Let's just give you an example of that. I can abuse you in person. Few people will look at me and say, this man is the abuser.
Yes.
But when I do it online, I can leave the comfort of my home, having abused you socially online, and be accepted into society as an outstanding member of society. So when we look at it from that perspective, to say people look at cybersecurity and the cyber world as a way of doing things without revealing their true identity. And then we find all sorts of crimes being perpetuated in that space.
And I suppose this is where psychologists then come into the space and let us in on, you know, what's happening behind the mind of someone who does something like that. But we'll leave that to the professionals, that space, right? Talking about that, then I want us to look at the trends, right? But before we look at the trends, what would you say are some of the most common or greatest cybersecurity risks or threats that our listeners need to be aware of?
All right, so let's talk about one concept, and we're going to look at quickly the good part of it and then the bad part of it.
Yeah.
We are currently in a world where we have this thing called artificial intelligence with machine learning. Beautiful concept. You know, it's going to help us do things that human beings could never do before. But you know, the interesting thing about artificial intelligence and machine learning is that then and you process information and you become better.
Yes.
But there comes a time when you start to decline.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
And then we start to call you as the aged and we stand to respect what you say.
Yes.
But there comes a time when we say, no, 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 the old man here has lost
it. Yes. Yeah.
You know, he's past the thing. But with artificial intelligence and AI, we have technology that can continuously learn and improve. And so when we talk about the very question that you're asking, we are going to face technology that is going to have the ability to improve the lives of human beings to a level that we are not going to even imagine in 2025. But at the same time, those who take the technology and use it for a bad way of using it are going to start doing things that even in 2025 we will not be able to imagine the level of distraction that they'll be able to create. And so there you see the two sides of the same coin, something powerful being used for good and then also being used for bad.
That's quite interesting then, because you touched on artificial intelligence there, and I was listening to a podcast, and I've got a colleague of mine who's also trying to get into this space and talking about the fact that the way artificial intelligence is hungry for information and data, whatever it is, right? It's so scary that there's been concerns about how, for example, it seems to be moving at a faster pace than we can imagine, control, understand, find a way to adjust. In other words, it's moving faster than we can actually keep up with what's happening in the artificial intelligence, machine learning, and all those sort of stuff as well. And I don't know if that is something we should be worried about. I mean, you mentioned that there's two sides of the same coin. You know, there's greater things that will be done, but there's also threats that then we need to look out, which is the other side of the coin. Doesn't that reinforce people's, I suppose, you know, distrust of this artificial intelligence, maybe just on that artificial intelligence bit?
Look, you're asking a very important question. And I think the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, has been on a campaign to say, look, this thing that we call artificial intelligence and machine learning is dangerous.
Yeah.
And he says that on the back of this very short story. I think in somewhere in the world, there was a man who was asked to join a conference meeting.
Yeah.
And in that conference meeting, he saw his colleagues.
Yeah.
He saw his CEO of the company.
Yeah.
And the CEO of the company asked him to make some financial transactions. And this is an online meeting. You're seeing the people. You're seeing people who you're familiar with. And he's given instructions. He executes them, only to find out that conversation was done with people faking the identity in terms of the voice and the facial aspects of his colleagues. And that's where some people can then say, look, you see, this is a tangible example of why this thing is dangerous. We're reaching a stage where replicating someone's voice, replicating someone's facial features on a call is a matter of uploading a few pictures, a matter of uploading a few voice extracts, and you can be able to say anything that person would say. But at the same time, if you look at the solutions that artificial intelligence and machine learning is solving, these are things that scientists, especially in the world of science, were not able of the advent of this technology. These are things that have helped in terms of our leaders make better decision making in terms of the country. Of course, we can question the decisions, you know, the outcomes of that. But they're starting to make use of this technology to advance things. And we'll only see the fruits of these things in 5, in 10 years from now.
Five, 10 years from now. Maybe let's start with 2025 then. Two sides of the same coin. What are the trends you're seeing here? And how will this redefine, I suppose, the way we approach cybersecurity in 2025?
All right. So like I mentioned, we're always a little bit step behind the West. And usually what tends to happen is some cybersecurity trends that have occurred in the West tend to flow over to us as developing countries.
Yeah.
And what we've seen there is the increase in the amount of phishing schemes. Now, someone can say, okay, what is this phishing thing? If you were to go to Cape Town and you sit in a boat and you throw your fish net and you catch some fish, sometimes you catch things that are not fish.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'd catch a fish.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'd catch a lobster.
Yeah.
And you take what you need, the rest you discard.
Yes.
So when we talk about phishing in the cyberspace, this is communication that's created by attackers, sent out as a broadcast and hoping they catch one or two people. And these are trends that we are seeing that are going to increase. And the types of phishing trends are these, where someone says, look, there's a SaaS rebate. Click on this link, log in, and claim your 2,000 Rand from SaaS. But at the same time, someone is saying, for you to get the 2,000 Rand, you need to unlock and pay 200 Rand.
Yes.
You know how many of our senior people and those who haven't listened to programs like this would say, you know what, I need 2,000 Rand. What's 200 to that? There's also service cancellation phishing emails where someone says, hey, your subscription to this service is canceled. Click here to restore it. There's also government, people to be pretending to be the government, saying we are offering these services, but for you to get access to be in front of this service, you need to pay a fee to secure your position. So there's quite a lot of phishing that we're expecting. And that for me is the biggest trend we are seeing, followed by AI and machine learning. And for organizations, for those who listen to this radio, who are listening from not a user perspective, but an organization, ransomware, where someone says, look, I have something of yours, but you need to pay some sort of money to get it back in terms of extortion.
Oh, my.
We also anticipate this one to also grow. So these are the three, I would say, these are the main ones we need to look at.
Yeah.
The first two, you can look at it from an individual perspective. Of course, machine learning and AI can be both individual and organization. Ransomware can definitely just be organization.
Right. And talking about that one, you know, the government as well. I know someone who recently, just now in January, in fact, a couple of days ago, shared a story on one of the social media platforms that they got a call from a so-called station commander in the east, not the west of Johannesburg, West Rand, whatever that site. And the person had said he is the station commander of this particular police station, and they got their number. He wants to help him because there's been a rape charge that has been leveled against him by two white ladies from somewhere, whatever, and called him by name when you called him. And I thought to myself, is this phishing as you're talking about it? But it certainly is a compromise of his information because he doesn't even know the station command. He never set foot in the West Rand in December. He was home, in fact, in one of the rural provinces. I won't mention for security as well. But I found that story to be quite interesting as you're talking about phishing, because we will get a lot of those. And it seems like even people in the police are involved now.
Yeah, look, I think the challenge that we have, being a civil servant myself, is that civil servants don't get the highest salaries.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that civil servants are corrupt.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're easy to receive bribes, but sometimes people target them for that very reason. To say that, look, if you're able to take this kickback, are you able to compromise your integrity? And I think for civil servants, that can be a possibility.
Yeah.
And that tends to be a bit of a challenge when it comes to services that the government now offers, whether it's a spaza shop, now all of a sudden you've got people who you're putting the correct measures in place, but you know, there's still people circumventing the rules.
A difficult one. Now, I want to talk about small businesses then as we draw towards a close. But small businesses, the cost of putting up measures to protect your organization and the information can be quite hefty and perhaps daunting, because small businesses don't have the luxury, don't have the money and resources to protect themselves that maybe big business and public organizations like government, state-owned enterprise can have. I know it's a very important part of running a business, because you don't want your information, employees' information, as well as your customers' information just, you know, laying very carelessly somewhere, or someone for that matter, kind of tapping into that, especially because we have WhatsApp business these days, and I don't know how safe that thing is. But for small businesses, it is rather very cheap and very convenient for them to contact and talk to their customers via WhatsApp business and all that. But there's always the risk for the small business, and we often don't talk about small businesses as well. Are they also at risk, and what can they do in small measures even?
Look, I think small businesses do have risks pertaining to their industry. And just one of the risks they have is that, you know, they invoice very frequently.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes they have this place where their emails are stored.
Yeah.
And what we've seen is that in this place where the emails are stored, it might be with one of the service providers, they don't really apply the etiquette with applying security there, just to log into that space and be able to send emails. And what we've seen is that sometimes threat actors gain access to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And once they've gained access, you can send out an invoice, but the account that invoice is paid into is a different one from
different
the one that you sent.
Yes.
So for me, that is one of the biggest things that small businesses face, because that one, you know, you, as a small business, you are waiting for that invoice to be paid, because there's bills to be paid, there's employee salaries to be paid. And when we don't really look at how or who's got access to some of the places where we store critical information, we can easily run that small business into non-existence, into extinction.
Yeah.
So the biggest threat that they have is that they need to start securing the place where they send out emails. That's number one. The place where they generate invoices.
Yeah.
And then also the last thing that they need to do is inform their customers that whenever I generate an invoice, I will call you to confirm that the invoice has been generated, confirm the banking details that you have received, and then take it from there. Of course, we've spoken about AI and how someone can then clone someone's voice, you know, circling back again. But this is something that could help, you know, where their customers, we have this thing in cybersecurity called cybersecurity culture.
Yes.
Where you learn to say, in this culture, this is how I'm going to do things. You know, we've got Sotho people who, when we talk about maybe lobola negotiations, they do things in a certain way.
Yes.
We also need to start thinking from a small business perspective to say, look, I might be a small business, but I need to have this culture of cybersecurity.
Yes.
These are things that we do.
Yeah.
And this is how we work when we do these kind of activities.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that would be critical for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they can find resources, I suppose, that are not going to be very hefty, they should look at, on the internet. And I know you had mentioned that your organization as well, from time to time, also offers those. They should just be on the lookout and look for those, eh?
Yeah, look, they should be on the lookout for that. I think the usual search key terms on Google, you can just say SMME cybersecurity opportunities in South Africa.
Yes.
And don't just click and then install anything that someone is telling you on the other line, on the other side of the line.
Yeah.
Call and find out if this thing is legitimate.
Yeah.
Talk to people.
Yeah.
See if you can meet the people, and then join programs. Be on the lookout for programs. Join programs. There's a lot of free programs that sort of try to add, educate SMMEs.
Yeah.
They can take advantage of those. The other thing is they can educate themselves as well. There's a lot of material on YouTube.
Yeah.
There's a lot of material on the internet.
Yeah.
And this cybersecurity thing, it can be a concept that can be easily understood by all.
Yeah.
And I'm on a one-man drive to try and simplify it.
Okay,
so
that's
that people
lovely.
Can understand.
Please, please take us along. We want to go with you there. So it's not a one-man drive, but we can jump because it's a very important topic and very important drive, in fact.
Yeah. Look, for example, I left home. I didn't leave home without explaining to my parents one thing they need to look out for this year, which is links that are sent to them by their friends and just clicking on them because it's a promotional brand.
Yes, yes. Okay, especially because they're old people, right?
you know, messages amongst the elderly, it flies very quickly.
Number one, because
they're generally proud of us.
Yes.
And number two, because they have a caring heart and they've seen people struggle. They don't want to see people struggle. So if it's the latest news, it's quickly shared.
Yeah.
So scams that come through them, they fly across our country.
That's very true. And I've seen them in these WhatsApp groups. Oh, my goodness, they can forward things. They forward this link and that link. Before you know it, there's like 10 of them that they've sent. And you often have to say, please, no links in this, especially church groups. Please, no link in this because, my goodness, they can just share these things and expose everyone, I suppose, in the process. And any message for our listeners this year, 2025, as we round this one?
So, look, I think one of the things that I want to leave them with is I said this the other day when I was doing a TV interview to say that oftentimes when we receive a message and it has some sort of urgency in it, this year in 2025, when we see something that looks too good to be true, that we didn't apply for, let us close the phone. Put the phone down, count 1 to 10, or ask someone, does this make sense? When you are done, you don't call the number on the message. You go and Google the organization. Let's say I'm going to pick on Telkom. Let's give them some airtime. Telkom are giving away, you know, free airtime. Don't call the number there and then they say, no, you need to give us 25 rand before we send you the airtime. Rather go and call the Telkom hotline and say, I'm hearing there's a promotion at Telkom. And you Google this on thing and ask them, this promotion that you're running, is it actually true? So there you are finding a way to communicate with a big known brand that is supposedly running a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity offer. In a different way that doesn't necessarily compromise or make you lose money. So this is one thing I'd say to the listeners. If you've missed anything I've said today, whenever you receive a message that requires you to act very urgently, once in a life opportunity, take some time. Pause, think about it. Ask around. Before responding.
Breathe for that matter. Count to 10. I love that beat. Breathe and count to 10 as well before you even action. Don't call that number. You know, go and check it out and do a little bit of research around that number. Muyowa, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time once again this year. And may God bless you too, as well as family.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That is, of course, the Muyowa there talking to us about cybersecurity trends in 2025 that you can expect. And, of course, a little bit of tips on what to look out for. I must tell you a story, right? So the other day I was just at home, you know, and then I get a message on WhatsApp that says, hi, Tapelo, please go and delete this and this and this number. And I was like, wait, who's this? When I checked the number was from international. It was plus 44 or something like that. Guess what? I just deleted it. Didn't even go and inquire to say, who are you? Who am I talking to? Because that's the phishing. That's literally phishing there. They're trying to get your attention, and don't give them your attention.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.